As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. So, Joelle, when was the last time you were wowed after buying a product?
Matt and I both got Fitbits, mm-hmm. and we're really competitive with each other. And so we set, you know, our goals of how many steps a day we wanted to hit. And if the other one didn't hit it, we'd give him a hard time and all that. And so when we got these Fitbits, it was really more of, we were just thinking about it in competition with each other to keep each other active and healthy.
What did you think of the badges?
The badges were a total surprise. Normally those things, I'm like, oh, that's so silly. Who would care about that? But there is that part of you deep down where that psychology works on you. So you get that first badge of you've walked 10,000 steps or you've gone up, you know, X flight of stairs, and it motivates you to see what the next thing is that you can earn.
I love this. This relates so much to what we're talking about today, which is after the sale, you're never done selling. And there's just different techniques that you can use in order to continue to engage your customers so that you are continually selling them either on your brand or new products, whatever it may be in your space. And it's so important, but we often overlook it. So I'm incredibly excited to dig into it today. Welcome to Rocketship.fm. Podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Saka.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
So we've just covered sales, closing the deal, building your pipeline for the last 4 episodes. And today we're going to teach you how to retain those customers. So later on, we're going to discuss what you can do with your customer success teams to continue the sales process. We're also going to hear Craig Wortman and Mel Gordon talk about why you're never really done selling. But first, I want to bring this clip from Andy Paul, who talks about your most important sales call.
Yeah, I've got something I call what I call the most important sales call. And you know, people sort of look at me a little funny when I talk about this, but is for most customers, when they've gone through a purchase process, is they've ended up talking to lots of different vendors. And even though they gave you the order, if you were to ask them what they thought they had purchased, what they'd come feedback to you is they thought they'd purchased something that's most likely a combination of the sort of the best of everybody that they talked to. So they take all the best of features from everybody else that they spoke to and they conflate into one picture and they think that's what you're delivering, which is a horrible way to start a relationship when their expectations aren't going to be met. So this most important sales call is that when the customer gives you an order, is that you have a phone call or sit down with them, depending on, you know, what your sales model is, and you go through the process with them where you count, hey, this is when we get started, this is what you said your requirements were, this is where we ended up, this is the proposal we gave, this is what you accepted, these are the reasons you decided to buy from us, this is what we're going to deliver, and this is when we're going to deliver it. And then you've aligned their expectations with what you're going to deliver. And so you start the relationship on a really good foot, because too often what happens is the customer's a little confused. They're not exactly clear what it is they bought, especially if it's a more complex product or service they're buying. And you start on sort of a down note because they're thinking, oh, wait, I thought I was getting this, but I'm not getting this, you know? And so you eliminate that from your process by doing this, what I call the most important sales calls, you by helping them reset their expectations of what they're getting. Now, a lot of sales people and even some managers are afraid to do this because they think some reason the customer is going to say, oh, well, in that case, I don't want to go forward. And let me tell you, it never happens. Never, ever, ever happens. And so you just have to suck it up and go do this. And then when the customer gets your product, they get your start to develop working with your service, you don't have this, oh, I thought I was going to get this and I'm not getting this. And oh God, we're kind of bummed about that. Yeah, that's just not a good way to start.
So now we've sold the customer. They are a paying customer of ours. But whose job is it for them to stay a customer?
Well, that's an interesting question. And depending on who you ask, you'll get a lot of different answers. But ultimately, I think Mel had it right.
From the time that you take an order, it's not done. So typically, it'll go over into an account manager, customer success team. And that team or those people need to be so integrated and understand the sales process that they can just literally jump in and take over from there. Because that's when things just begin. Now you're talking about someone who needs to be fully engaged in using the product, because if they're not, then what, right? They cancel. Then they just churn out. So the onboarding process is still definitely a part of the entire sales cycle, 100%. And then ultimately what you want is a properly onboarded customer who's engaged in using the product, and then two things. Do you have the opportunity to upsell and upgrade them later, and will they also refer you to others?
And here's how Craig Wortman described this kind of phase of the customer relationship.
And then, you know, in the business school, I teach a whole section in my sales class on post-sale activity. I say, when you close the deal, selling doesn't end. It just enters a different phase with different tools. And we call that section of my course, Let's Fall in Love. Because we talk about, how do you cause people to fall in love with you? Because you can. You can do that. But you really have to be disciplined and diligent and skilled about how do I, now I've been lucky enough to win Joelle or win Michael over, now how do I treat them and measure our and manage our relationship such that they absolutely fall in love with this company and me and everybody around, such that word of mouth starts happening and then lots of good things start happening for your company.
But this isn't necessarily easy. It's something that takes a lot of finesse, a lot of trial and error till you find what works for you. So we asked Mel Gordon of Tap Hunter, what are the common mistakes she sees with this in sales?
The biggest job of sales is to not overpromise, right? Not to sell. Their biggest job is to not sell product that doesn't exist or overpromise on the product on things that it doesn't do, because then they're going to make the customer service team job hell, because then they've overpromised and now we're under delivering. Right. And if your team and your culture and everyone's aligned properly, nobody wants that, right? Nobody wants that. So it is 100% sales job to be aligned with that from the beginning, or else the customer is just going to churn out.
So if we go back to that Fitbit example at the beginning of the show, I think there's a lot of different ways that you can tackle this problem. Right, because Fitbit, there wasn't a person necessarily in charge of it, but it was almost more of a creative marketing effort that keeps you engaged with the product for the lifetime of that product, but yet functioned as a sale because it keeps you around as a user so that you're going to buy the next Fitbit, that you're engaged with the Fitbit brand and you're not looking around at the other options in the market because maybe Fitbit isn't working for you.
And you hit the nail on the head with engagement. You work so hard to get a customer. And as hard as you work to bring them in, it takes almost no effort for them to leave or to switch. And so engagement becomes that next phase of the sales cycle. And depending on the type of your business, there's all different ways to keep people engaged. It's up to your team to implement that strategy. But without some kind of engagement strategy and tactics built in, you're going to be losing people for no reason.
Right. And I think it's interesting to think of post like initial sale. There's, you know, you can either sell them more to continue to grow your relationship with that customer and sell them more offerings, bigger packages, you know, whatever it would be inside of your product. But you also have to look at the function of either customer success, marketing, or some kind of engagement team that reduces the churn of your current customers. Because that, in effect, each time that you charge that monthly amount, if you're a SaaS product, that is a sale. And the effort that it takes to continue to keep them subscribed month to month is a sales effort by your entire team.
If you're going to look at one key metric, I would look at lifetime value of a customer, because that metric is going to tell you what you can spend on the front end of sales acquiring a new one.
So we're going to dig into LTV in just a second and how you can create a higher LTV and why that is a function of sales. But first, a quick message from our sponsor.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Now, let's get back to the show. And so if we looked at LTV and we looked at the creating a higher LTV as a function of your entire team's sales efforts, they're selling effectively, even though they may not be the ones on the phone calls and on the front line. Each interaction with your customer happiness team, each interaction with your brand, that means your product, is an effect of sales, which when we take that kind of approach, sales is really something that we all do. It's a function of everything that we're doing when we're building product or we're talking to customers or we're even building like mini marketing campaigns. This is all a function of sales.
Right. And you can be passive about it and just you treat people well when they happen to come to you for a support request, or you can be proactive and constantly remind them of the value you're providing. And Fitbit's one example of that. Anyone can come up with ways to remind their customers of the value they're providing, as long as you're confident that you are providing value. I hope you are.
And so, I mean, we were talking about Churn Buster, and you guys had some ideas of what you were thinking of doing.
Yeah, I was really inspired by the Fitbit badges that they send out every time you hit a milestone, and it tied so closely to Churn Buster because all we do is make you money, really. We recover your customers that would have failed. And so there's so many fun stats to celebrate around that. We recovered your first customer. We recovered your first $100 in MRR, $1,000 in MRR. There's so many wins along the way to celebrate to remind you of the value of why you use us. And it's something to date that we haven't been focused on. Although now I'm going to put a lot of effort there because I'm really seeing the value in that constant reminder of why you made a smart decision to work with us.
So we've covered kind of the product side, right? How your product team can contribute to sales and how you can communicate to your product team what they're doing, right? And how they're contributing to the bottom line. And now let's talk a bit about the customer happiness side. So, I mean, this is the higher touch aspects of your business, but this is like every time someone sends in a support request, that is either an opportunity for you to win or lose that customer, because one bad interaction could send them packing to your competitor. And this can be a really tough thing to manage, especially when there's so many people that could be potentially answering that email. So we talked with Carolyn Koprasch of Buffer about how they handle some of this internally.
And so we try to have sort of a consistent tone across the board. And we actually have a tone guide. I don't know if it's interesting at all. It's at bufferapp.com/tone-guide. And what that is just, you know, sort of talking about is how we like to approach the way we, you know, the whole world. So that includes our customers that we're talking to one-to-one. It includes our customers when we're talking in a mass email. It includes, you know, how we write error messages in our application. And so that kind of thing is all, you know, it's all based on how to win friends and influence people, which is kind of the book that our entire culture is based on.
Right. And the big difference to me between customer support and customer success is that one is proactive and one is reactive.
So how can you create a proactive customer success team rather than a reactive customer support team that contributes to the sales bottom line?
Well, the simple answer is you solve the problems before they become a problem. That's obviously unrealistic across the board. You're always going to have people that have some support requests, but what you can do obviously is start to answer the questions you hear most often. It's being in tune with when and why people come to you for help and trying to beat that to the punch.
Customer service is your server went down and we brought it back up. Customer success is we noticed that your server was going to go down and we prevented it from happening. It is a function of sales.
For starters, I see it now as a much more holistic function of the company throughout your entire life cycle, not just this upfront singular event.
And making their experience great, which is the whole reason why we sell them on something in the first place. It's not to get their money, but it's to solve their problem because we have a solution to their problem. And if we look at sales not as just the bottom line bringing in dollars, but as in the number of people that we can help, we start to break down this mystique of sales being sleazy and instead being, you know, you're seeking the number of people whose problem that you can solve. And if you can solve it in the best way, you win not only in the market, you win in having happy customers.
Absolutely.
I think we brought it back to what our mission was in the beginning, which was sales is not dirty.
This is not about manipulation. It's about creating trust and win-win. Because I tell my entrepreneurs, the minute you sense that Michael is not a fit for your service, you thank him and you walk away. This is not about manipulating someone to make a stupid decision. Why would you ever do that, right? And so, but it really is meaningful when it comes to getting the proper mindset to be successful selling.
All right, cool. So what are we going to be talking about next? What are we going to be diving into?
Well, this was the last episode of our sales series. And next up, we're going to have an entire series all about data.
So what does that mean?
I don't know.
So we're going to find out.
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that.
So I think what we're going to try to do is we're going to take a look at what data means today and what that means for us.
Yeah. You know, just saying the word data, It's like this thing that's out there that you don't really understand, and it kind of makes your head hurt. And so what we want to do in this next series is make it relatable, bring it back to why you should care about it, why you should care about it, how it affects you and your business, and make it kind of a little more friendly topic to interact with.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited.
Me too.
So if you haven't yet, go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You don't want to miss the upcoming series on data. We have a couple more interviews coming your way on Sunday. I think next week, next Wednesday, we'll probably have another interview. It'll be a catch-up with Brett Holger, who's building houses in Haiti. If you remember his episode where we had Josh Muscio from The Pitch come on and co-host with us. That was a lot of fun. So we have a catch-up episode with him next Wednesday. Then the following Wednesday, we'll be starting our new data series, which I'm incredibly excited about. We have a ton of really great guests lined up already. So there's going to be some content that you don't want to miss. So go ahead, click subscribe. If you can, please share it out. Go to rocketship.com. You can just click on the Twitter links there. Really helps us to spread the word here, and we really appreciate when you do it. Big thanks to our sponsor today, Pipe Drive. If you go to pipedrive.com/rocketship, you'll get 2 months free. So go ahead, jump onto that. It's a fantastic tool for small sales teams with big ambitions. I would love to hear what you think of kind of the new format. You can hit us up on Twitter at RocketShipFM. Shoot us an email, team@rocketship.fm. If you haven't checked out the new site, go to rocketship.fm. It's all pretty straightforward. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael Saka, and you can follow Joel at Joel Goldman. So we'll see you here. We have another fantastic interview on Sunday, so make sure you don't miss it. We'll see you right back here in just a couple days. Peace.